阅读、科技、旅行，
生活可以很大，对话设计、学习思考不嫌太多。这里是 iTunes 获奖播客狗熊有话说，一听就停不下来的哦。这里是狗熊有话说，我是主播大狗熊。今天呢，有一位来自新西兰的 special guest 特别嘉宾啊，来到我们这个节目里面，和他分享一下他的人生故事。Hello everyone, this is Bear from Bear Talk, and we have a special guest today. He's gonna introduce his typical Kiwi life and his story to us. Okay.So, hi, Braden.
Yeah. Hey, hi, Mr. B. How are you doing?
good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, really good today. Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah. And it's the perfect weather. And
yeah.
So, it's a perfect day to share your story.
Yes, right? Yes, so, absolutely, yeah.
Could you introduce yourself to us?
Yeah, please? Sure. I'm Brendan Ralston, so I live in Auckland here, New Zealand, and have two beautiful children, so father of two. Wow. Texan's my oldest boy, he's 10 years old, and Charlie, or Charlize, is 8, and my little girl. And I have a beautiful wife, Tony, who comes from Norfolk Island, and we live in a little place called Red Beach, which is a little bit north of Auckland, so close to the beach. It's all where we like to play in the weekends.
Wow, beautiful place.
Yeah, it's a really nice spot, you know, it's a nice spot, and just a little bit out of Auckland, but... Nice place, catch lots of sun up there.
Yeah.
And from a work perspective, we have a company called Action HQ, which is a marketing agency where we really focus on data and customer experiences, along with our new business, GiveGet, which is sometimes we call our China project.
Wow.
Yeah.
Quite interesting about that.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. So, did you born in Auckland, or you... from other parts?
Yes, born here in Auckland, so back in 1974.
Yeah.
And I've traveled a bit around the world, but mainly lived in Auckland and settled here,
I have a question about it, and always find a chance to ask about is there any difference between Kiwis who live in Auckland and Kiwis outside Auckland? Because I've heard some people said if you live in Auckland, you are not a typical Kiwi. Is that true? Or
it's right and wrong, you know. I guess everyone in New Zealand are real Kiwis of their own kind. But we are sometimes from out of Auckland, particularly like the South Island. South Islanders think that we're a little bit too full of ourselves and, you know, the big city, and that we don't care about the rest of New Zealand as much, and so we have a bit of a reputation, but Aucklanders are great people, nice people, and you know, we appreciate everyone else in the country, but we are a little bit different, you know. We're a busy city, and you know, there's a lot of hustle bustle that goes around Auckland that maybe the smaller cities in the South Island don't experience as much.
So speaking of Kiwi, could you describe a typical Kiwi?
Typical Kiwi?
Yeah
sure. I guess the Kiwi for many years has been really seen as, you know, summer times, time at the beach. You know, Kiwis love the beach, we love water, we love boats. You know, another key thing for Kiwis is barbecues. You might have heard already about you know, the Kiwi love of a barbecue, where we like to cook our meats and dinners and enjoy our summers around the barbecue. Like to have a cold beer, so Kiwis love to have a cold beer, or the ladies like a Sauvignon Blanc or a lovely rosé. So we, you know, we work during the week, socialize during the weekends.
So you know, when I was in China a few years ago, I watched the movie The Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
And people told me a typical Kiwi's life is like the typical Hobbit's life. It's just the same. And when I came
to New Zealand, I felt maybe they are true. It's
yeah.
true, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's relaxed and they care about families.
Yes.
And yeah, and also enjoying the life. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Kiwis do, and yeah, they're big on family and big on recreation, relaxation, socializing.
Yeah.
And so generally, the majority of Kiwis, we go to work so we can enjoy those special times.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do in your weekend or in your spare time? So could you give me an example of ordering a weekend?
Yeah, the weekends are busy times, because during the week we're busy working, so it's the weekend is always about family first. So for me, a typical weekend on Saturday is getting up and the first thing is the chores around the house. So it's like making sure the lawns are mowed, maybe cleaning around the pool, helping out, tidy up the house, the kind of things that we all have to do just to prepare for the weekend.
Yeah.
And we know that the kids will often have swimming with part of the surf club.
Mm-hmm.
So we go and...
every week?
During summer, yeah. Every Sundays we head down to the surf club and we go down there and we train the kids up. On how to save lives, and one of the key things about New Zealand is wherever we live, we're close to water, so it's really important that our kids can swim really well, and if they need to, even save lives in the ocean. So, so we train our kids for that. Quite often, if we have time on a Sunday afternoon, we might head out to a vineyard, so head up to Matakana, which is a little bit further north, another beautiful place. Have a glass of wine and a platter and family time, so we like to sit down and just relax like that too.
And speaking of close to water, is it swimming, is it a necessary skill for every Kiwi?
Yeah, I think it's a critical skill for every Kiwi. And there's still a number of Kiwis who don't really learn that skill.
Yeah.
But, we spend so much time in the water, near the water, in swimming pools. It's a very important thing. Yeah. So we really try and promote, everyone to swim.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd better take my daughter to a swimming lesson.
Most definitely, yeah. Yeah.
Especially in the summer season.
Most definitely, yeah. And you should also, bring her up to the surf club at Red Beach.
Surf club.
And, when she's at 4 years old, they can start training and, they meet other children and, learn about teamwork and, leadership and all the fun things for kids.
Uh-huh.
But most of all, it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Do the parents need to also join the training together or not?
You don't have to, but we encourage it because it's a good way to integrate with the community and make new friends.
So I have three years to prepare.
Yeah, definitely.
From zero, because I know nothing about surfing.
Yeah, yeah, nor did I. And it's an interesting experience because as you join the surf club, people are really open to teaching you.
Yeah.
And your children love it if you get involved, whether you're just, whether you're coaching or whether you're just helping out. The kids love to see their parents as part of the whole process.
Yeah. And especially for boy, and they need more active physical work. So when it's a girl, maybe it's easier. You don't need to take a lot of time outside, or
I don't know. I think having a daughter, she's also very active, and there's. A lot of girls are now starting to play like touch rugby, they're mixing up the sports and things like that. So, both boys and girls really active in New Zealand for sure.
That means dad or moms also need to change their lifestyle.
Yes,
I need to change it because my lifestyle is always sitting and reading and. Surfing on the internet, so it's not a healthy life. So what do you love most about what you do in your family? Is there something you love
within the family?
Probably
I enjoy just sort of relaxing is one of the key things I like, you know, like when we head out to you know, maybe a vineyard or a restaurant and we just all around the table together, even if it's for lunch in a restaurant, and we've got, you know, lots of them around, and just sitting there and ordering lunch and talking. That's one of the most special times when we're all together. You know, when the children are doing their sports, you know, you're always proud of them getting involved in their sports and things. But yeah, just family time, you know, spending it together, you've got to cherish those moments.
And speaking of family, so, you know, as a dad or as a mom, it's really difficult to balance your work and life. So could you tell me how you manage to balance it? Is there any tips you can share with us?
I don't know that I have any good tips, because I think sometimes, well, a lot of the time I probably work more than I should, and the balance is always a challenge. I think a challenge for lots of people. I think something which my wife taught me is that when you're with somebody, be with those people. So actually be there in person, and you know, if you're not at work, be at home. You know, if you're with your children or your wife, you know, make sure you're there and you're listening attentively. So it's sometimes not always about the amount of time, but the quality of time that you have with your family.
That's a very wise advice.
And, you know, I think one of the things I focus on with the children is, you know, lots of cuddles. You know, let them know you're always proud of them, you love them. So that the time you have with them is always, you know, really good quality, and they know that they're really cared for, you know. Not always about just the amount of time.
Yeah, I totally agree. Of course, you know, in China, a lot of common situation is when we eat, we texting.
Yes.
When we watch movie, we texting again.
Yes.
And so it's always you are at there, but at the same time you are not there.
Correct. Yeah.
So but now it's a lot of people realize it's not a good habit, and it's also about manner, but it's more about your attitude to life and to people. So I myself also have some kind of this problem before, and maybe now sometimes when I was thinking with my daughter, and maybe I'm thinking something else.
Yes.
I'm trying to do my best to just focus on what you are doing right now.
Yes.
So that's very wise advice from your wife.
I think so too. She keeps reminding me, because I don't always get it right, but it's something
my wife always the advisor.
That's right.
So did your career change after the birth of your children? Maybe, of course, you have two kids now.
Yes.
And I can imagine it's hard. It's really hard, and a lot of your time will be focused on the family. So did your career change at first?
To a degree, it did. Like, I used to work, you know, longer hours and in the weekends. And these days, I generally would not work in the weekend, so that's more family time. But at the same time, you still have to keep your life moving. Still have to earn money, we still have to feed the family. So even with children, sometimes it can't stop your busy life. And sometimes it puts more pressure on where you were, because obviously financially you have more mouths to feed. So
responsibility.
You've got more responsibility. To one degree you have to be more flexible, but at the other degree you've also got more to achieve. Sometimes it doesn't take away from the things, it just adds more, and you just got to get the job done on a personal level and on a professional level as well. I think the career's kept on moving, but it's probably just put more pressures on. And it teaches you to be more effective and more efficient, because you have to be.
Could you give me an example of or a case that in your real life when something you have to do, you thought you have to do in your work time, but also it's also
important time for your family, and you have to choose.
Yes.
You have to make the decision. Could you give me an example?
Yeah, sure thing. Like even like tomorrow, for example, at the school, it's Dad's Day. So about lunchtime tomorrow, we have to go in there and you know, we get sausages and we sit down with our kids at school and they you know, show us around, we play around at lunch. And so like tomorrow I've had to move meetings around. For my afternoon I've had to decide, okay, I'm not going to go back to work in the afternoon. So having to organise things like that, which is really, really important that I'm there because the children would be really upset if we weren't there. But at the same time, in the back of your mind, you know you've got lots of work to do, and you kind of got to move yourself out and just leave it, you know, and make sure that your team are there to support it.
So can I imagine a situation, a more dramatic situation that you got maybe now you got a client, and very important potential client. If you win this client. When this client, you will get a whole year orders.
Yes,
really big, really important. And,
yes.
But at the same time, your son is going to have a swimming match.
Yes.
At the same time. So what's the choice?
Absolutely. Okay. Very interesting. It just happened to be last week.
yeah.
We had exactly that scenario come up last week, and. My son was doing pool champs, which is part of the Surf Life Saving Indoor Pool Champs.
Yeah.
And I had a very big meeting in the morning, but I had two also large meetings in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And the evening before, my wife told me that I have to be at Surf Life Saving. And I said, oh, I can't make it. I have these big meetings. But she was very insistent on that.
Yeah,
and
you have to.
You have to be there, right?
Yeah.
So I decided that it's more important to listen to my wife this time, you know, and do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, fortunately I did because my son won a New Zealand record in swimming on that day and got a gold medal for New Zealand Surf Life Saving.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't listened to my wife, and
you would regret it.
I would have regretted it forever.
Yeah.
And it was one of those moments which was so special.
Uh-huh.
You know, brought a tear to my eye when I saw them win and beat the record. And you know, so that was an example where we had to change my busy day, listen to my wife, and do what I do what was right.
The right decision.
It was very much the right decision, even though the first thing I didn't plan to follow that.
At first you thought maybe it's not the right decision, but then you realized that.
I had professional commitments, but you know the customers understood as well. You know when I actually communicate to them, say, look, I can't make today. We have to postpone.
Yeah.
And this is the reason why. You know, they understood, and it made me realize that probably I should have just done the right thing in the beginning because people do understand when you're doing things for family.
Yeah. And I think that's a very common or a very good value of Kiwis. So they really respect family life.
Yes.
And they always speak. Family is the first thing, and they not just speak; they do the same.
Yes,
so,
correct.
So if you tell them what happens and what you why you need to postpone the meeting, they will understand.
Absolutely, and they'll respect you for it as well. They go, "Oh, Brendan's a good man, putting his family first." You know, so he's
trying.
He's trying. You know, he's trying to. He had the best of intention, but he's making the right decision.
Good. And do you have any advice that you could give to a new mom or a new dad? So any advice?
Yeah, sure. I think the tough thing for new moms and new dads is the lack of sleep. As you're experiencing or you've recently experienced bear. And that can put a lot of pressure on both moms and dads.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my advice is really, particularly that first 3 months of having a new child, is to support each other, but also to recognize that you are going to have a lack of sleep. You're going to be tired. You're going to be emotional. Sometimes you're going to be grumpy and cranky. And it goes with having a newborn baby. You're learning so much. It's very hard work and it's tiring. Obviously, there's lots of rewards, but it doesn't feel like it for the first 3 months. It's tough. So my advice is just you've got to stick together really strong. And you've got to know it's not going to be easy for anybody.
Because, you know, at first, before you have a baby, and when you read all the tips or the stories, you say, okay, I will handle it. They're just not professional, so I'm determined. I can do that.
Yes.
So, but when the thing really happened to you, it's, wow.
Yeah, completely different.
Different. Yeah. And you know, wow, what they are saying is true.
Yeah, that's right. Believe me, this is true. And there's it's no point making up process or procedure. Uh-huh. That baby's in control.
Yeah.
And you just have to just go for the ride.
Yeah.
And just do your best to hang on.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Yeah, lack of sleep. And can I ask, how many hours do you sleep every day?
Good question. Actually, my sleep times vary a lot.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I will some nights go to bed at 8:30,
mm-hmm.
and other nights at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
I'll generally be up about 5:45.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be anywhere between say 6 and 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love sleeping and I sleep very well.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. So the more the better. But it's a matter of if I'm doing a bit of work or I'm getting up early to do exercise, they can, you know, mess with the sleep patterns.
Yeah. Because, you know, why I'm asking this question is sometimes I try to cut off my sleep time.
Yes.
So I think, all right, I have a lot of things to do, so... sleeping 8 hours maybe too much for me. I can cut it for 7 hours
or
6 hours, and maybe it's still okay, but it turns out it's never worked. So I at first I thought maybe it worked, but it's not
long term. I think sometimes sleep is one of those things you do cut off, and I still do that. More than I should, you know, cut off a bit of sleep to either work a bit later,
mm-hmm.
or cut it off to get up earlier and
mm-hmm.
get some exercise.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's part of the balance. You know, one sleep's very important, but sometimes it's part of the balance. You know, if you want everything, sometimes you have to balance things a little bit differently, and you need to be flexible on that balance.
Of course, I have a few American friends,
yes.
and their lifestyle is just try to cut off as many sleep hours as they can.
Yes,
because they are maybe working, social life, and maybe sleep.
Mm-hmm.
These three parts, and they don't want to give up the other two parts.
Yes,
so work and social life. So
it takes priority.
So they gives up sleeping hours, and I think it's kind of crazy life they have.
Yeah.
but I think now maybe for me I really like just like normal Kiwis lifestyle, just take longer sleep, and
mm-hmm.
then you get energetic to do everything.
Absolutely, yeah. You wake up feeling, wake up without having to
be,
you know, set your alarm so loud and struggle to get out of bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing like an early night to help you get up nice and easy in the morning.
Mm. Yeah, mm. That's a good lifestyle, I think. And let's talk about your career and what you are doing right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Could you tell me, Chris, you're born in Auckland, and then you studied here, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So can you tell us about your career path and
how
you came to start Action at HQ? So some stories about
it. Sure thing. So I studied here in Auckland as well. So I studied business studies.
Uh-huh.
And then there was, you know, while I was at school, I always knew that I would want to be into business and something
mm-hmm.
I really enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I left school a little bit early
mm-hmm.
so I could go and study business studies a little bit earlier. And then when I completed my business studies, I helped my mother set up a business called Action Mail.
Action Mail,
mm-hmm. yes. So I put together the business plan and helped her with the structure and get the business up and running.
Mm-hmm.
And once she had the business running, I went overseas for 2 years to Holland, mm-hmm. and lived in Holland, and I was working there with horses, which was a hobby of mine at the time, show jumping. Wow. Yeah, it was a very exciting time of life.
Wow.
Yeah, traveled a little bit around Europe.
Is it like a gap year or not?
It is like a gap year, but it was also, in my early years, horses were a passion of mine. So, the Dutch and the Germans are the world's best show jumping riders. So I was ready to learn more about a hobby at that time. So that was a really fun part of my life. And after 2 years, my mother phoned up and she said, the business is going very well mm-hmm. and she needs some help. And so she asked me to come home and help her in the business. So I came back, I worked with her in the production area, just looking at lean management processes, mm-hmm. Productivity of our production environment. Mm-hmm. And after a while, moved into the sales side of the business, so helped her with the sales, with the business growth. And was doing that for probably about 2 to 3 years, and one day my mother came to me and said, look, she's looking at selling the business. And it opened an opportunity for me to buy the business off her. So I brought Action Mail in 2006, and at the same time is when I had my first child, Texan, same year, and rebranded the business from Action Mail to Action HQ.
Sorry to interrupt. So your mom just sell the business to you.
Correct. Yeah.
So she doesn't think to give it to you without.
No. She had to sell the business to somebody, uh-huh. and there's an opportunity for me to buy the business. Uh-huh. So we had to go through and finance the business and raise capital. To buy the business.
In Eastern culture, if I have a career and have a business,
yes.
and when my daughter grow up, and I'll say, okay, it's yours, yes. but you have to get ready for it, maybe.
Yes.
But after all, it's yours.
Okay.
So,
yeah, very
so
different.
Different, right?
Yeah. Maybe in some cases that may happen, but just in our case, this was about a business transaction and a business opportunity. Yeah. And my parents were due for retirement, and they decided to retire, and I saw a new opportunity for this business on where we would take it, So I brought the business, and we've been, growing and also transitioning the business from a more of a manufacturing to a marketing agency kind of environment. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And the first time I came to your office last week,
yes.
And at first I thought, of course, I met Amanda before, and
yes.
we have a nice conversation, and I thought it's like a workshop, mail workshop or
yes.
studio or a factory.
Mm.
But when I came here and I saw your data group,
yes.
and it's a whole team is working on data analyzing,
yes.
and it's just make me quite interesting about your business models.
Mm-hmm.
Is, the two relation, the relationship between these two parts.
Yes.
One part is you produce real mail and deliver it, and the other part is about data, about
Correct.
Digital things. Can you tell me the how you managed to do that, or what is the story behind it?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I guess one of the key things for our business is everything starts with understanding our customers' challenges
uh-huh.
and their business objectives, and we look at what those challenges and objectives are, and then we take it all the way back to understanding their data, their customer database,
yeah.
and how we communicate. So our business is really focused around strategy for communications,
mm-hmm.
and a big part of that is really understanding and analyzing
mm-hmm.
databases and transactions and how people respond to certain things,
mm-hmm.
and then we also develop personalized communications and then distribute them.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to have a data processing team who can analyze data, clean data and prepare it for communications. Mm-hmm. But we also need to have a production team who can take the communication part and then deliver it physically in the form of traditional mail. Mm. And our objective is about ultimately creating some form of response from the recipient. You know, and that response will be either a purchase, or it could be an emotional response of surprise or happiness.
Yeah.
And once we understand that, we make sure that we are generating a communication that creates a desired response.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's quite clever, quite smart to choose a traditional way to deliver things directly to their hands.
Yes.
And even it's a digital age, you read a lot of things on a digital screen, computer screen, mobile screen, but it's different when you hold something real in your hand.
Correct.
For
yes.
example, if I has a piece of paper and feels different as mm-hmm. a computer screen. So
that's
I
right.
I think it's quite smart,
yep.
smart way to do that.
Very so, much, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And of course, this is a Chinese podcast. So,
yes.
How do you think of China, or how do you think of China market? So,
yes. China, I think, is a really exciting country. You know, I kind of see it as an old and traditional kind of business. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, country.
Yeah.
Which is really going through a beautiful stage of transition.
Yeah.
You know, to a really modern, world-leading country.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's sort of old, but it also at the same time it's quite a young country in regards to the changes going through. There's so much, it's so different to Western markets, you know, and how you engage and how you do marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that learning process of understanding, you know, the social channels and the channels of influence
mm-hmm.
in China is a journey mm-hmm. which we're going down as a company to make sure that we can, you know, deliver our communications effectively in a market which is so different to what we're used to dealing in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so now I know that you have a product
mm-hmm.
and customized we can say it's a very good product for China market.
Yes.
And it's give and get. So can you could you introduce that to us, and what is it, and how does it work, and where did you start at first?
Yeah, sure thing. Well, give and get is a business which is all about gifting. So what our vision is actually creating cherishable moments
mm-hmm.
for people giving and receiving gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at how do we source beautiful gifts from around the world, westernized products,
mm-hmm.
and help deliver them for the Chinese consumer so that they can actually find a place where they can buy trusted products
mm-hmm.
and have them delivered either to them or to their loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
The business was set up when I met a Karen, mm-hmm. Karen Hill, who's an American lady
mm-hmm.
Who has been spending 20 plus years actually trading products from China through to America.
Mm.
And so she has a lot of years of experience on identifying gifts for the American market.
Mm-hmm.
And she met with me a few years ago and she said, "Brendan, what I'm really interested in doing now is actually finding beautiful gifts which are produced in the Western market
mm-hmm.
and actually making them available for Chinese
mm-hmm.
people to experience and share." So really we sort of looked at how do we take the experience of from China to America and then look at how do we bring the rest of the world back into China.
Mm.
So that was the initial relationship.
Mm.
Through my experience with creating personalized books, we were producing personalized children's storybooks in New Zealand
mm-hmm.
For New Zealand and in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And we're producing lots of books and they were very, very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at the personalized books we were producing and we thought, well, let's look for some of the most beautiful personalized books in the world. And we found a company in America called I See Me
mm-hmm.
and they produce lots of beautiful books. And one of their storybooks, for example, Goodnight Little Me,
mm-hmm.
is a book which is lots and lots of American children receive this book.
Mm-hmm.
And the storybook itself is personalized. So the child in the book is the star of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, their name is on the cover. The child's name's on the cover. Yeah, it's awesome. Child's names throughout the storybook. And we have the photo even on the front page and sometimes throughout the story.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like producing a storybook, which is very personalized, very unique, and very special. Mm-hmm. So that's our first product for Give and Get, where we've looked at that product. We've worked with our suppliers in America, and they've given us the license to now sell the books into China.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you show me that book?
Yeah, sure.
Good Night, Little Me. Like that.
Sure. So so this here is Good Night, Little Me.
Uh-huh.
So it's a personalized storybook, the child's name on the front cover.
I really like this art.
Yeah, so the art was done by Mary Grand Prix, who also did the Harry Potter books.
Mm.
And so you'll see that the artwork throughout the storybooks really sort of represent a lot of the Harry Potter style books. Mm. So beautiful artwork. On the inside page, we have the child's photo.
Mm-hmm.
So beautiful photo of the child. We have a dedication from mum and dad in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a special message either from mum or dad or grandma or grandpa. So it's sort of a real keepsake.
Mm-hmm.
And then within the story, got all these beautiful imagery, and we've actually taken the story and... that's all right.
Yeah,
no trouble. So we've taken the story and we've actually translated into Chinese as well. Mm-hmm. And so the child's name is in Pinyin, mm-hmm. and also in Chinese as well.
Yeah,
so they can see it. One of the really amazing things with the storybook is it's in rhyme and rhythm,
mm-hmm.
and we maintained that rhyme and rhythm throughout the translation.
Mm.
So we've really made sure that it represents the English,
mm.
But also creates a good rhythm and feel for reading.
Mm. No, details, yes.
Beautiful details.
Yeah.
And then through here, you know, the child's name is actually images within the storybook.
Mm.
Quite beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm starting to imagine the book for my daughter, and maybe every dad or mom see this kind of products will start immediately. They will start to think about how about it for my girl, for my son, and feels quite good. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, it's really, really nice storybook.
Like that.
Yeah. So we have to produce one for your daughter.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no troubles.
Great.
Yeah, so, nice, isn't it?
Yeah, so maybe this is it's like a first step for Give or Get.
That's right.
Later, it could be other categories, but first is personalized books.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. So at the moment we have 5 personalized titles available,
uh-huh.
and right now we're actually looking at sourcing more storybooks which will be available through our website and our WeChat store,
mm-hmm.
and Taobao store.
Yeah.
So our first stage is actually finding more books,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time we're looking at sourcing, you know, beautiful products like mum and child products from New Zealand,
mm-hmm.
And also from America as well. So
we're
currently looking for products, and very shortly we'll be adding new products.
Mm.
Yeah, so we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
and is there any customer story you can share about this product? Are there any customers they just get some feedbacks to you?
Yeah, well, we had one customer whose child received the storybook,
uh-huh.
and then they the feedback is they saw the photo and they saw the name, and the child just screamed with delight when they saw the book. And then they said that the child actually slept with the book for a few nights, like actually took it like a doll kind of thing,
uh-huh.
took the book to bed and slept with the bed.
Yeah,
so that was a really nice story.
Yeah.
But generally, it's you know, what we really like about these is they're beautiful gifts,
mm-hmm.
and they bring, you know, parents and children together.
Yeah,
you know, and it's their special time of you know, particularly Good Night Little Me or reading a story before you go to bed. And mm-hmm. like you were talking about earlier, you know, we spend so much time on devices, you know, and digital devices. It's nice to bring that time together without that digital environment. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, children remember it. I don't know about you, but when we, you know, my children were young, we always had, you know, we'd sing songs to them when they go to sleep, you know, and they remember little
they
things.
They remember that.
They do. Yeah. They really do. They remember those things. And, hey, Dad, you know, this is the song you sang for me, or, you know, this is the book we used to read, you know. So they're very special moments, and you know, they're things that will be remembered. And these are the kind of gifts that will be cherished, and they will be kept for a long time by the children.
I think it's a really precious link with you, the parents, and the children.
Yes.
And there's one thing that make because emotion is all your feeling, love or care. It's just like digital things.
Yeah.
you can't touch it, but this is something you can touch and feel. And when you write something for your kids, and you pay all your emotions, your feelings to into that writings or something else, and then you got a real book, and so they will feel it, and and also you can spend some quality time with kids, read that together, and I found it's also very precious moment when I try to read books to my daughter, and of course when she was very young she can't move, so it's easier, so she just I think she will remember now. I try to read that it's never last for 2 minutes.
She's gone to sleep. Yeah. Oh, she crawled away.
She crawled away.
Yeah.
But I just keep reading and or try to perform it. So make her laugh. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, wow, it's much better than rather than you face a digital computer screen.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah. And If a Chinese customer really love it and want to order it, how to get it?
Yes.
How to get it from China?
Yeah, sure. So in China we have a WeChat store.
And that's convenient.
Yeah, very convenient, and so we can we can take orders through WeChat and also Taobao store as well. Our official website is live at the moment. We're preparing that to also take orders shortly, so so that'll be live as well shortly. So yeah, we can take it through a number of channels, and we make it easy and online, and ask you all the right questions, you know, to provide the right data, so we can personalize you know, the whole book. We can upload photos as well.
Do you have a general plan of this project for China market, maybe in the next year or in the coming years?
Yeah, definitely. Well, next, you know, because we have only really just launched late last year, really. For us, this year is really our sort of first year of starting to market into China, educate your mums and dads about our brand, about our products. Probably a key thing for us this year is looking for some beautiful new gifts, you know, and introducing them to us. So I guess what we're really working on right now is building a community of like-minded people in China who can help us. You know, they can give us feedback on what are the kind of gifts that you like or you would like to interact with, and we can help source gifts that look like those. But really it's about looking for beautiful products who we would use as gifts ourselves, you know, and make them available.
That's great. And speaking, one last question.
So
speaking of books, do you have any books that inspire you or you would like to recommend to us,
to mums and dads?
I
guess a book which I really enjoyed reading some time ago was by the Dalai Lama, and it's called The Secret of Happiness. It's a really cool book, and it really teaches you about compassion, caring, And I guess a lot about your emotions and being able to you know, control your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a very interesting book, which was made a big change for me.
Mm. Yeah, that's great. And Chris, do you have any other books that could maybe good for kids or?
Yeah. At the moment, you know, within from the iSeeMe range of books, we also have Goodnight Little Me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, we've been through Goodnight Little Me. So, Hello World.
Hello World.
Yeah, for newborn children.
Yeah.
So Hello World's a really nice book. It's a board book, but it also includes like the child's height when they're born and their weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it has a beautiful personalization and photos of newborn babies.
Yeah.
So yeah, we really love that little book. Got one here, I think. So
Hello
here we
World.
Have Hello Two World. Versions. So we've got the boys' version and the girls' version.
Yeah.
So they're really really cool books.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really nice board book as well. So it's nice and hard, so the children can play with it and turn it, and it's going to last last a long time. Know,
like
lots of personalization there.
I think it's a perfect gift for a newborn baby.
It certainly is. Yeah. So anytime, and don't have to be mum or dad. Anyone can buy this gift for anyone who's having a new baby.
Yeah.
And then we have some beautiful book here for Princess, which is there's beautiful images again throughout the storybook through here, and that's beautiful story about the princess. And then through here, we also have photos, child's photo within the book.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Like and that. Then we also have this book where it's Fancy to Be Me, which is a really neat book. And it talks about this little girl who travels around the world and she dresses up in all sorts of beautiful dresses.
Yeah.
And at the end of the story, it's really teaching her the values of it's just more important to be who I am, and be proud of who you are.
Mm.
But it's,
also has a personalized name
here.
That's cool.
Yeah, there's been so much detail put into it, and
I didn't notice last time.
Throughout the artwork, you'll see the little comments that come out and personalization. But you can see the detail that have gone into the images.
Yeah,
and down here, like beautiful fonts,
cool,
everything like that. Yeah, really cool. So we saw these books and we think they're very, very special.
Yeah.
So we're very proud.
Yeah.
Yeah, very proud of them.
So this is a really I think it's I learned a lot from what you shared to us, and also inspired me a lot of things, and I think from my perspective I can start to think about as a father's role, what you need to how you balance work and life, and what is most important things for you in a longer perspective. So I've learned a lot, and you told me about the coast to coast match, and maybe we can talk about that later.
That'd be really good. It's an exciting project of mine.
Chris, I think it's really interesting topic, and do you have any thing you want to say to our audience, Chris? Now this podcast, there are a lot of Chinese and also other audience from other countries.
Yes.
But most of them are Mandarin speaker. So
yes.
So do you have anything you want to say to them?
Yeah, look, I think the main thing for me is personally, from New Zealand and a New Zealander, I'm really interested in China and the Chinese people and your beautiful culture.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's a lot about learning, learning who you are, and as a country and as a culture.
Mm-hmm.
So I find it quite intriguing, and I think the culture of we have here in New Zealand and the culture we have in China, there's a really interesting synergy and blend between those cultures. For me, I would guess with your audience, I'd like them to get involved with us. Follow us on our WeChat account.
Yeah,
that'd be really great. We can start creating more conversations, sharing our experiences. But I guess the key thing is conversations, right?
Yeah.
Is we want to talk, we want to learn,
mm-hmm.
and we want to share.
Yeah.
You know, they're really important for us. So, you know, if you're liking, you know, what you hear today and you know what we're representing, please, jump on our WeChat, join us.
Yeah. And that's quite easy for our Chinese audience, because WeChat is like their daily.
Yes.
Must have tours. So,
absolutely. And you know, it's been fun because I've set up my own WeChat, and I enjoy it. It's one of the best social channels.
Yeah, I found you are maybe one of the a few New Zealanders that I found will use WeChat as your daily social media tour.
Yep.
So you post your daily life there.
Yeah. It's actually my only social media. You know, I have Facebook and Twitter, but I don't use it. I just use WeChat. Yeah, I love it.
I should talk to some people work for WeChat.
You should, I love the product. You know, I love it. And, you know, it's a great place to chat and, you know, it's easy to check and engage with. So, yeah, it's a great thing. And, you know, that's part of learning China and culture and stuff. It's a lot of fun, you know, and you know, straight away you produce the best social channel in the world.
Okay, great.
Cool. Thank you, Mr. Bear.
Yeah, it's a great interview. And thank you for your time.
No troubles. Okay. My pleasure.